Coming up next, the history of abandoned Manitoba.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.
So today we begin a new series on the Weekend Morning Show. It's a look at Manitoba history, but from an unusual perspective. This series is about abandoned Manitoba. Our guide is Gordon Goldsborough. He's chair of the Historic Preservation Committee of the Manitoba Historical Society. Gordon's been doing a lot of his own investigation of abandoned buildings across Manitoba, and he'll take us to unique but now derelict buildings all over the province, and Gordon's here now. Hello there.
Good morning, Harry.
So what's your interest in abandoned Manitoba buildings?
Well, I got started on this about 5 years ago as I was traveling the province, and I would occasionally find a building that had been vacant. And I was curious about what some of them were. Like, sometimes it's obvious from seeing the building from the outside, sometimes not. And so kind of snowballed from there.
And what do these buildings tell us, especially the abandoned ones?
Well, it tells us, obviously, that the function that that building used to provide no longer is provided. It tells us the community around the building has probably changed. That's often the case, particularly in rural Manitoba, that we see profound changes happening in communities.
What does it take to track down these buildings, though? When you start looking, how do you find them?
Well, it's a combination of research and serendipity. Sometimes I'm simply driving out on a country road and lo and behold, there's a building. Other times it's because I've actually gone out and sought a building. I know there was a building in a particular location. I'm curious whether it's still there and I do a little research ahead of time.
And when you actually get to it, what are you looking for?
Well, I'm, of course, looking to see what condition it's in. Sometimes these buildings are still in good condition. They maybe haven't been vacant all that long. Sometimes they have been vacant very long, and I'm curious to see how long they might still be standing. A lot of these buildings are pretty bad shape. And in fact, part of my reason, I guess, is to make sure we have a documentation of these buildings before they do come down.
And so today we're going to start in Birtle, right?
I thought that was a good spot to start. Yeah, sure.
Tell us about the buildings that you were examining there and the ones that you've profiled.
Well, a whole bunch of ones in Birtle, around Birtle. This one in particular is on a hill overlooking the town. It's got just a commanding view, a beautiful view. And it's a former Indian residential school building.
And what's left there?
Surprisingly, quite a lot. The building complex at one time consisted of quite a few buildings. There was, for example, a farm that was used for a while. But the main building complex is the residence and, I guess, the school part of it. It was a three-story building. It had an attached, a mechanical building, I guess you could call it. That was where the life of the school occurred.
And this is a red brick building, right?
It is, yeah. It's quite an impressive looking building.
And you've wandered through it, looked at things. What do you see when you're inside?
It's varying stages of decomposition. The building has been vacant now since the early 1970s. So it's been quite a long time. All the windows are gone from it, which means the elements get in, the rain, the wind, the animals, the vandals. And this is, of course, causing it to deteriorate. We see an awful lot of wall damage, the plaster's falling off the walls. There have been fires, small ones, that have taken toll. And then there's some significant damage to that little utility building on the north. Quite a few of the walls have actually collapsed in.
Why was the site abandoned?
I suspect it was simply part of the closure of the residential school program. Around that time, it was starting to become pretty obvious that it wasn't working. And so I think virtually all of the schools closed in that general period.
Now, part of the unfortunate history of many of those residential schools is that there were deaths that occurred for some of the children living there. Did you find a graveyard on the site?
Not this one. I certainly have at other school sites. The one in Brandon, for example, there are two cemeteries associated with the school. But to my knowledge, there aren't any of this one. Now, that, of course, only means that there's no formal cemetery. There's no stones. There may well be places where burials took place. The records are pretty spotty. Even in Brandon, for instance, the cemetery there wasn't well documented. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if there, in fact, were burials there. and we just don't know much about them.
What do you know about who owns the site now?
Not a lot. It is owned, as far as I understand.
It's privately owned.
Privately owned, yes. It was at one time it was a Crown asset, but it was then sold. It changed hands, I'm told, quite a few times through the 90s. There was attempts, in fact, to try to restore it, to use it for sort of a cultural center, but it's been vacant by the look of it for, well, at least a decade.
I understand that, in fact, it's been advertised on Kijiji. There was an article, coincidentally, in the Free Press yesterday about the residential school and the private owner who's been trying to sell the property for about $80,000.
Yeah, indeed. I was surprising to me, too. I didn't know much about the site and who owned it now. I would hope that there's some interest in seeing the site preserved. It, of course, has fairly great significance to not an awful lot of people. It would be nice to see that significance recognized somehow.
And this is going to be a series that we're going to do over the summer. Have you decided where you're going to take us next week?
I haven't, mm-hmm. just because there are so many places to go. There are abandoned churches, there are abandoned schools, military bases, stores, you name it. There's all kinds of things. Maybe we'll just leave it for now to say that I'll find something really quite interesting, and I'm sure your listeners will be surprised.
We've also put a link up on our Facebook page to the very detailed entry that you put on the Manitoba Historical Society website with great photos, archival photos and contemporary photos as well.
Mm-hmm.
So nicely done. You did a great job on these.
Thank you very much.
All right. So we'll talk to you next week.
We will.
That's Gordon Goldsborough. He's chair of the Historic Preservation Committee of the Manitoba Historical Society. And we posted a link on our webpage, to the webpage of the Historical Society for the now abandoned Bertel Residential School.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You're with CBC Radio 1, Abandoned Manitoba, new series on the Weekend Morning Show.